Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now let's talk about Christian mega churches.
Oh,
you're having a moment right now, especially in Hollywood.
Yeah, I know a lot about mega churches. They're really different from Hollywood to the South. They're completely different, but they're still mega churches.
Well, yeah, Bieber's talking about his love of church. Kanye West, he has, you know, that Sunday service he does.
Yeah.
And there are a ton of mega churches popping up in California, but it seems like many aren't practicing what they're preaching. Now, in a new series called State of Grace, Grace Semler Baldridge explores the intersection of human rights, sexuality, and faith. It's an awesome series.
It's
definitely worth checking
and
out.
And honestly, such a good name. Like, that is probably a prime reason to be named Grace, so you can have a name like that.
Yeah, well, she joins us right now on the line. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course.
I've always loved your work, but I really love what you're doing with this. Talk to us about State of Grace, and then specifically this episode that we're about to get into.
Yeah, so State of Grace deals with sort of surprising intersections of faith. Most notably, you know, I'm a queer Christian, and that is a little bit different, perhaps, for some people. Presented with a pretty homogenous view of Christianity, which would exclude the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
So what our show seeks to do is just to sort of flip that a little bit on its head and present a different way of looking at things. And in the episode that you're referring to, we are looking at the mixed messaging of these very popular and trendy megachurches.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about this, and one thing that really stood out to me, because I'm, like I said, I'm from the South, and I really had a religious upbringing. My whole life was very church-filled, and I also kind of would consider myself a queer Christian or a queer spiritual person when it comes to that. And I think one major thing, when I moved to here, that I was trying to find, you know, a new church that I wanted to go to is, you know, these, the idea of like, oh yeah, your favorite celebrity goes to this church, so why not check it out? And so I wanted to kind of know about that when, you know, queer people are moving to new spaces or new places, what could be, you know, a hurdle when it comes to finding a church that is dedicated to things that they believe in and also accepting of who they are?
Yeah, it's really tricky. And the reason why it's tricky is because the landscape has been shifted in the language that is used that is then legitimized by the attendance of these celebrities in the sense of, like, this is a very specific example. There's a video that went viral some time ago where Justin Bieber was confronted by a fan of his who was gay and is saying, like, would I be accepted in your church? And Justin Bieber was like, yeah, of course you'd be accepted. Our church accepts everyone. He was comforting this fan. Mm-hmm. And we have to believe that he had the best intentions at heart, but the church that he was recommending to this fan is Hillsong, which is not an affirming church.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know that from their languaging, because churches like Mosaic, like Oasis, which are the two churches that we dealt with in the series, but like Hillsong, like Church Home, these are churches that use messaging like, welcome, you belong here, and they will sort of use it as almost like a smokescreen to actually distract you from the policies that are in place that serve to other the queer community.
Mm. Yeah, so what are these policies exactly?
Okay, so this is important because I don't know if there are any celebrities listening, but if you attend these churches,
we're pretty famous.
I'm a Jew, but I'm going to go and do something about
this. I'm just saying, there are plenty of celebrities listening.
Because we need to make sure, because, like, we need to get there. We need the voices of allies. We need people who say, oh, I support the queer community. We need you to ask these specific questions because these are the policies that are hurting people. You need to ask, can or has a gay couple or an openly queer couple been married at this church? These are yes or no answers. That's number one. Number two, the second question is, can or has an openly queer person served or could serve in a leadership position at this church? This is yes or no. If you are saying no, or if you're waffling around, well, it's complicated. Oh, it's complicated. Well, listen, there are many denominations of churches that it's not complicated for. I belong to one. You either are affirming or you're not. And if you're not affirming, that's different. We can get into the theology of that, but you need to be clear. You can't be saying welcome, you're welcome here, if it's contingent on being straight or not being who you are.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I totally agree. I kind of want to play devil's advocate, though, when it, especially when you're talking about celebrity-endorsed mega churches.
Yeah.
And we really kind of put a responsibility on celebrities in some way to kind of withhold, like, you know, stand up for something, which, of course, they should. But how much responsibility and accountability should they be taking on that if they are attending a church? Like, you know, Chris Pratt, he has been called out. You know, Ellen Page called him out for attending a church that she believes is exclusionary of LGBTQ policies. But how much of that responsibility, I guess, is on Chris Pratt if he's like, I am an ally, but I'm just going to a place of worship?
Well, I think that if he were to say, you know what, allyship is not that important to me, then I think that'd be one thing. But if you are saying, no, I'm an ally, I love queer people, then why are you attending a church that treats queer people as second-class citizens? That's not consistent. I think it's okay to expect consistency from someone if they are saying that they are an ally.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I think that that is just bare minimum. Clarity is reasonable. If you are not an ally, if that's not something that's important to you, all right. I mean, that's not what I would prefer as a lesbian, but fine. I won't hold you to that standard. But if you're saying, no, I love gay people, then you need to be a champion for us and you need to stand up for us when we have powerful religious institutions that are othering us through their words, but hiding it to you and through their celebrity power and credibility.
Well, yeah. Grace, speaking of sermon, you out here giving one, and I love it. You are preaching.
And I feel like, as an ally, I feel like if I heard that, I would say, I didn't know that, but damn, I'm going to do something about it now.
Yes.
Right now, and I'm like, and I will let you know in an hour what happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in the in one of the segments that you have, and this one that we're talking about specifically, you actually go to RuPaul's Drag Race, and we didn't even know there was a whole Sunday service there.
Had no clue.
Yeah. Yeah, so we went to RuPaul's Drag Con, and on this Sunday, and this isn't the first time they've done it, for a while, they have a Sunday service, and we attended, and it was just sort of to show to juxtapose when a community says all are welcome, when a faith community says all are welcome, what total inclusion looks like, you know, barring that you can get a ticket to DragCon. I mean, that is a very inclusive service. I mean, people were hungover. You're in drag, you're out of drag, versus a community, a faith community that says all are welcome, but there's a little bit of an asterisk on that welcome. And so I just sort of wanted to show that as a bit of an example on how, you know, inclusivity can be quite seamless and really beautiful when it is actually internalized and interpreted in a holistic way.
Yeah, it wasn't the race, it was the con that had the service. Although that would be an amazing special.
I think the interesting thing as well, like when we're talking about kind of, you know, the intersection of being queer and also being really into religion and kind of having your own faith, there's something, like, I even was thinking about my own experience where I remember attending churches and the pastor would talk about how it's a sin to be gay, but it felt like even as I grew up older, it was like, oh, I'm going to a church that reminds me of that, and I'm kind of sweeping under the rug that rhetoric and kind of ignoring that rhetoric because I'm enjoying, you know, that connection with, you know, spirituality.
Yeah, and you know, I actually think that to a degree, if someone makes that informed choice, that's okay. I think that where I'm so frustrated is the lack of clarity from these churches to issue a comment. I mean, you saw in the video, Mosaic canceled their interview with us.
Wow.
You know, and I was really hoping that we could have a point of transparency of just like, listen, what are your policies? What does your theology inform you in a specific way about how you treat the LGBTQ community? And if it was to say, listen, you can't get married here, you can't serve in a leadership position, I would way have preferred that than just the lack of clarity, because we know that clear is kind and unclear is unkind. And so many of these churches are choosing a lack of clarity because they are concerned more about their popularity.
Which, speaking of clarity, I love that you, in the video, you touched on a website, churchclarity.org. Could you let everyone know what that is about?
Yeah, so churchclarity.org is a growing website, and I really want to get the word out about it because I think it's really important, and the more that we can talk about it, we can add to the database. It is a organization that sort of gives a score to churches on different levels of inclusivity. So with regards to women in leadership, with regards to the LGBTQ community, they do some research, and then they will score that church, whether it's affirming or whether it's unclear, not affirming. And I think it's really important, because if you are making the decision to attend a service somewhere, then it should be an informed decision to know that you're going to be supported and you're not going to have the rug ripped out from underneath you down the line after you've been donating to this church, after you've been giving them your attendance, volunteering your time. You know, you want a church, the bare minimum is just to be honest with you. And it's so frustrating, honestly, guys, because that is just, I mean, can't we, isn't that reasonable just to ask honestly
for
a religious institution?
Yeah. And I'm sure people will get a lot of PTSD or like are triggered once they've already been hurt so much from their past and church experiences. And then they finally feel like they find a place where they're welcome. Yeah. And then it happens again.
Yeah, I know we're taught that to care for the least among us, and it feels like a lot of these churches are ignoring the LGBTQ community, which for me is you're ignoring the least among us. You're ignoring their hurt and their pain, and you're furthering it by not dignifying this hurt with easy answers. These are yes or no answers, and I really hope that we get some more accountability from celebrities that I believe to be allies that are just not aware of what is going on because it doesn't affect them. And we need to be looking out for even issues that don't affect us.
Well, Grace, I just want to say thank you so much for being that representation for what queer and being spiritual and involved, a queer Christian looks like, because there's very many of us, and I think it's always thought about that, you know, queer people don't have relationships with religion.
Right.
And so I really appreciate that. I just wanted to say that.
And the storytelling of this series is really incredible. I'm super inspired. What do you have coming up next? Like, what are you looking forward to documenting?
You know, we are in development right now on the next episodes of State of Grace, but I'm really interested and inspired to keep looking into these surprising intersections of faith. I want to explore different faiths as well, different communities. I want to look at faith through a lens that is something that we haven't seen before, because the representation thus far has been pretty homogenous. And you don't, when you think of a good Christian girl, you're not thinking of this like butch lesbian. And I want to kind of shift that.
You know, I am.
Why couldn't I? Maybe.
Well, Grace Baldridge, you're awesome. Where can people find out more?
You can find out more on Refinery's YouTube page. Just go to Refinery29. You can follow me on social media. I'm at Grace Baldridge on all things. So follow along. I have cute dogs on social media. So if you're interested in that,
that's definitely now.
My new favorite person. I love Grace.
Grace, keep doing awesome work and hope to see you soon.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you. Check out State of Grace on Refinery29 right now.